Hello and welcome to Columboys, the podcast all about the duplicitous, lucky, inexplicably simian world of Lieutenant Columbo. I'm Mac, and with me as always is Ben. Hello, Ben.
Hey, Mac.
This week, we're taking a look at Season 11, Episode 1, Death Hits the Jackpot. This episode stars Rip Torn as a bankrupt jeweler who murders his nephew to steal a lottery jackpot. Now, I normally take the time and write a very well thought out, I take some time and write a couple jokes at the beginning of this episode. I haven't done that this time because it's the quarantine, and fuck it, man, all bets are off. Welcome to the new normal, man.
You ain't got time for that bullshit.
I have nothing but time, Ben, but I am not doing it this week.
Mac, listen. The country's opening up. Everything's fine. This thing's just going
to
vanish.
Oh, it's
all going back to, right. Are you fucking kidding me? Yeah. I'm not going anywhere.
I mean, you didn't go very many places beforehand, so in fairness.
No, true.
Yeah.
But I'm going those places even less often.
All right, so this episode, Ben, so we got Rip Torn. He is this jeweler. He owns a jewelry store, but his investments just came back and he bottomed out in the stock market. He's completely broke.
He's totally broke, which is why you don't put everything into the stock market in the first place, but that's beside the point.
Yeah, it seems like he's probably bad at money, because you shouldn't be able to get wiped out in the stock. He owns a jewelry shop, right?
So he shouldn't be able to get wiped out
in the stock market, right?
Right. Theoretically, like, he should be able to liquidate that and still kind of, I mean, again, maybe he's got a bunch of debts there, and it's not important, Mac. The important thing is the people who wrote this script said, oh, well, you know, we're going to show him as this fancy thing, but no, somehow magically he's broke right at the time when his nephew, who is going through a divorce, has got this $30 million.
We start with Freddie and Nancy.
They are
a couple having an acrimonious divorce.
Let's be clear, on how shitty it is that Freddie shows up in his Dodge minivan.
Yeah.
By the way, that is his work vehicle that has his photography.
He's a photographer.
You know, shit on the side.
Yeah,
but he shows up in like the most like classic. Like, hey, we gotta telegraph that this guy's a photog, so he's gonna have that. He's got the beige vest.
Yeah. Yes,
with
the
all
pockets.
The fucking pockets. Yeah, that fishing vest. Which, don't get me wrong, it's super useful, but
he's
it's just like anytime you see it on screen,
working. He's got that '80s mullet going. He's just got
the doofiness cranked up to 11.
Freddie has come over because Nancy hasn't signed it because she doesn't want his debts.
Yeah, because he took out loans right before they got married to start his business, and she doesn't want to be liable for that, even though that's what they lived off of for at least 3 years. It's not clear how long they've been married. I don't remember. I missed that detail. Yeah, it's like the fact that he comes over and like knocks on the door and stuff, and then instead of waiting, just lets himself in because he's still got a key, which he's not supposed to have, and like
she's living in their old house,
right? Getting ready for a date.
Yep, she's getting ready for a date, and so while he's waiting for her, the television is on and the lotto selection comes on, and it turns out that he won. He's got the winning lottery ticket. So he hides his surprise and then like says to her, you know what? It's fine. We'll just sign the paper.
Hides.
He doesn't do a good job of hiding it, but he rushes out and then, goes to his uncle.
He comes over basically cause she hasn't signed the papers for, you know, that same reason. But it's like, but he goes from like, he goes from the hard, like, you got to fucking, you're the one who wanted a divorce, you got to sign this bullshit. And also, he goes from, like, hard pressing her to pivoting on the dime.
Yeah.
After he's been, like, whooping and hollering in her living room while she is getting ready to go on a date. So, like, I hate this scene.
I'm just
I hate the
about,
music in the scene. I hate how goofy it is.
I'm thinking about like the mechanics of it. Like,
yeah.
Okay, so afterwards, he goes to his uncle Leon Lamar, who's Rip Torn, and he says,
and that's clearly the next day.
Yeah, he says, I got a big problem. Leon has just learned that he's broke. And in walks Freddy. And Freddy says, I got a big problem. And the problem is, I just won the lottery. He's like, why is that a problem? He goes, Nancy. Because she's going to get half of the money because they're still technically married. Which I don't know if that's true. And he certainly would have the money to fight off that lot, like to fight that off if they were in the process of being divorced.
If they were separated at that point, which they clearly are.
They're living in separate places. Yeah.
Right. And for him to win that, like, while she was dragging her feet on
the
paperwork.
Thing. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, seems very unlikely she would win that case. However,
I mean, here's the thing. He's greedy, and this is why he ends up dead, but, like, because it turns out his uncle is even more greedy. But, like, here's the thing. If he had just, like, $15 million is still a lot of money.
Still $15 million.
Like,
well, that's the part that is so unclear here, is it's, like, the shit he spends money on after he is concocted. Because, the short version is he concocts a plan with his uncle, and his uncle, you know, ostensibly signs paperwork, you know, agreeing to their deal, basically an insurance policy, so that just in case his uncle fucks him over, as far as like takes the money and doesn't give anything to him, and then instead of giving him money, his uncle murders him. Big surprise there. Mm-hmm. And then we find out that his uncle is banging his soon-to-be ex-wife.
Oh, boy, do we ever find that out? Let me tell you something.
That, it's so gross.
Never again. I never want to see.
You don't want to see Rip Torn.
I never
want to
see Rip Torn getting down again. I have seen.
It happened so
possibly
fast.
Two or three, possibly Rip Torn make. I don't know. I blocked it out. But
all right, quiz: Rip Torn versus Tommy Wiseau. Which one's worse? For the sex scene, I mean.
I did have to see Tommy Wiseau's whole butt, so that is worse.
Okay, all right, but if you take the butt out.
If I take the butt out, probably Rip Torn, because it's Rip Torn.
Tommy
Wiseau has a weird body, but it's like at least like kind of normal. It's like it's not the like.
All know that he is an alien in a human skin suit.
When you see him, you know, partially disrobed or like being kissed by a woman, it's like, yeah, I guess so. And then like, but when you see Rip Torn do it, it's like this is like. Wrong. This shouldn't happen in the world.
Yeah.
This is a crime.
it's not, hey, nobody can be into Rip Torn. I was not expecting this episode to go from zero to lady crawling all over his face in the span of like 3 seconds. Because it's literally like he steps out of an elevator in a hotel.
Yeah, this is the second time they're meeting up in a hotel room to have a tryst.
Furtively looks around. Yeah, the first time, let's be clear, is that she shows up
at
to Freddy's fucking apartment right after Rip has murdered him.
Right,
and there's this moment where it's like I looked at it and went, if you just showed up and the chimp is losing his mind over at the bathroom door, Freddy's nowhere in sight. And Freddy's uncle is standing there and kind of looking at you with this sort of weird glare. I would have just run. And then they start fucking making out. Yeah. And it's so much more intense than I expected. Like, it's effective. I was like, oh, hell no.
I mean, they're like not. Sometimes you see people kiss in a movie and you're like, they're not really. Like, these people are like going at it. Rip Torn and this lady. Who I probably should know the name of, but I don't have that in front of me.
Yeah,
but,
that's your job.
That is my job. Hold on a minute. Rip Torn and this this actor are just go like climb inside of each other's mouths. And it's a lot.
Listen, if you didn't think it could get any worse, then a murder that happens in front of a chimp, which is like some real Kaufman shit right there. You know, that's some real. Yeah.
Okay, so there's an aspect of this episode which is this fucking community theater version of In the Heights that's happening in the middle of this fucking. Where, like,
see, the reason why Zoe was on my brain was because the moment that they started piling in when so Freddie's an idiot, right?
Like, he lives in this shitty apartment building.
Yeah, he's in a shitty apartment, and like his uncle's being celebrated on television for winning $30 million.
Yeah, he's going on,
and he's
what,
bought himself
what looks
a
like
case
the,
of Dom Perignon.
He's going on what looks like the single worst late night television show of all time. It's a guy standing in front of a bunch of balloons, and he's like, "All right, impressions of famous people," and he just starts like getting like suggestions from the audience. It's like, oh, I don't think even in the 90s that would have been a good late night show.
Yeah, the moment he said that, I just like I just clenched.
I'm so glad they cut away and we don't actually have to watch him making
You just get to imagine it.
Yeah,
but what we do get is, so like, you know, Freddie buying this fucking case of Dom Perignon, and it's like, dude, it's not that good.
Yeah,
and it's certainly not, why would you do it now when you're still waiting on them? Anyway, but so like his entire apartment complex pours in, and it's like, you know, they're like lofts, like they're pretty shoddy, and it really is. If it's not a low budget version of In the Heights,
they pile in with the intensity of like this, all the recurring characters of a sitcom have all shown up in this episode and are having a reunion. Like, oh, hey, Trish is here. Oh, Gregory brought his mama. Oh, we love seeing Gregory's mama on screen. It's like, I don't know who these people are. Why are there 500 people in this scene?
I know. It's like, initially it's like one person, and then in the blink of an eye, it's a fucking clown car. But it had the vibe of like it made me think of, there was a trailer way back when that Tommy Wiseau put together for this sitcom he wanted to do called The Neighbors, and it's as bad as you imagine.
You got Wiseau on the brain right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing that popped into my head here, and that's why I asked you about him earlier, is because it's still on my brain, because because what a beautiful train wreck. Speaking of beautiful train wrecks, the fact that it's like, it went from, hey, look at this quote-unquote colorful cast of characters to, oh, one of them owns a chimp.
Yeah, also there's a chimp in this scene for some reason.
Right. And it's like, all right. And I mean, I immediately was like...
100% there is a chimp in this episode for the reason
for the
of...
catch.
For the catch. Yeah. And the reason of the catch is that the person who wrote this, which is the same guy who wrote the Columbo's Goes to College, and also the last what's his face? Your bud, your man, your dude.
Oh, the McGoohan.
The last.
I don't
McGoohan.
Understand how we went from those to this.
Yeah,
because this feels
a
little
sloppy. I think there are some
great.
I think it's definitely sloppy. I actually think legitimately that there are some really good character moments, and I think even the
Are those all the ones like where Rip Torn like glares at Columbo or is caught off guard or otherwise?
Rip Torn is so amazing in this. He's doing the worst.
Except for the accent.
The worst accent in the world. He's doing
it's so bad, man.
Texas drawl kind of.
If I'm honest, I can hear elements of sort of his normal cadence of speech and how he would go on to do an accent kind of in that vein later.
He is from Texas. He does have a Texan accent. I don't know why he needed to be more Southern for this role.
I'm going to guess he got directed like that for some reason. Because the actor who plays his wife does the same kind of thing. Like, her accent's not great and it kind of comes in and out.
That's Betsy Palmer, who was in the Friday the 13th. She was Mrs. Voorhees in the Friday the 13th movies.
Oh, sure, that makes
the first
of
and
course.
Second one. Yeah,
amazing. That explains why she married Rip Torn.
Yeah, because they're both monsters. he's great. And like the moments where Columbo confronts him, and you just get a close up of Rip Torn's face as he like. As he like thinks
screwed
of
up
the
so
implications,
mad. He's just
He's like so angry, but also like he's so good at looking like caught.
Yeah.
But like in a way that he also sort of looks like he's, it's good. It's a real, actually surprisingly subtle for like how big the rest of this episode is. He's very like, he's very, takes it very small, except with the exception of the accent.
Oh, sure. I mean, that's the wild thing here is it's like, it, I think that there's a lot of, sort of hand jazz. I don't really know what I want to call it, but hand jazz is the thing that popped in my head, so I'm going with it. Of just this shit, like the neighbors, like Freddy's neighbors, and these other scenes, and like the fucking Columbo at the car dealership. You know, fumbling to get his door to open while, you know, this old man, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking, you know, plays. It's like, there's so many of those moments, and it's a shame because they distract from how good the Rip Torn versus Columbo shit is. Because it is real good, because Columbo really needles the shit out of him.
I actually really, I don't know. It's weird. I actually like this episode, and I even like those weird character bits because of how, like, they're well done, even though they're weird and inexplicable. I honestly think the weird, like borderline racist mother, Italian mother character. I enjoy the scene where Columbo comes over and like talks.
She's
Italian
amazing.
To her.
Let me be clear. Like she is. Yeah. That character actor is incredible. I love them. They are so excessive, but also they work as comic relief in a way that the entire ensemble of Neighbors All at Once kind of doesn't.
Oh, well, and I mean that when we get to the funeral scene where they're all in Freddy's,
the wake.
All in Freddy's apartment and they're all singing Where Have All the Flowers Gone? I'm like, Benjamin, if I predecease you, if you go to my wedding or my wedding, if I die and you go to my wedding, my after death wedding, you know, when you get married after you die, my wake or my funeral or whatever, if you go to the gasoline pit that they've tossed me in, as per my will, then please make
sure. That's real wasteful. You should compost.
I can't wait that long. I got to be burned up. I need to dispose of me quickly.
All right.
as wasteful as possible. Then, you know, do not under any circumstances let anyone sing.
Fired into the sun on an oil barge.
Where Have All the Flowers Gone? Yeah.
God.
It's bad.
So bad.
It's so bad and it's hell and I hate it. And Trish,
but that's
the nosy neighbor who is inexplicably sexually attracted to Columbo.
And that's like, that's the first scene, you know, it's like Columbo holding the fucking chimp while she is hitting on him unabashedly. And like, Trish, girl, dial it back just a notch.
Exactly.
Maybe find out if the man is married before you start, you know.
And he's definitely married. In fact, it is.
That's like half the shit in this, right?
It is his upcoming 25th wedding anniversary.
Aww.
Which, since this aired in 19... Hold on one second here. I'm pulling it up. 1991. That means that they were married in 1966, which means that they were only married for 2 years when Prescription Murder came out.
Well, there you go.
So...
I'm glad you did that math.
Yeah, well, I didn't. It was in the trivia, but then I redid it in my head while I was, because I couldn't find the trivia.
Very funny.
Yeah, but that's weird to me. I always assumed that Mrs. Columbo and Columbo were like high school sweethearts, and Columbo is definitely not 2 years out of college or whatever. Don't know. I guess not. I guess you're right. Who knows? Maybe it's a series of Mrs. Columbos.
I mean, just because he... Yeah. I don't know, because when Nancy says something about going through divorce to him when he's like, well, when he sent the, you know, the revised papers over to you and you didn't sign those, why wouldn't you sign those?
Right.
Which is because if she signed those, then she'd have no claim to the lottery money.
And then they wouldn't, and then he wouldn't have to use his uncle to launder it. Yeah,
exactly. Which,
and since she's part of the murder plan, she needs him to do that. So,
yeah.
Which, okay, let's put a pause on that one for a minute.
I was going to say, do you want to unpack how stupid this whole thing is?
That's stupid. If she's in on it, the whole thing falls apart because she needs to do is go to the lottery commission and say, my husband's the one who won the lottery. Give me half of the money.
Yeah.
She knows about it.
Yeah.
Why does she? Why do they need to murder him at all? Because she's going
to
get half
all
of
it.
But she's not going to get all of it because she's going to get half of it. It's the same thing. She gets the same thing either way.
I know. We're talking. It's just an infinity loop, my friend. You're just always going to spin back to the same thing here because it's never going to make sense. You're going to look at it and.
If greed is the motivating factor and not she's super horny for Rip Torn, which it turns out she isn't, because as soon as he gets caught, she's like, okay, peace.
Well, that's the thing, right? Yeah. It's like there is, so in one of their later tryst scenes, Rip Torn basically is like, hey girl, Columbo is breathing down my neck, so maybe we should take a pause on all this hard boning.
Yeah.
Until the coast is clear so that we can, you know, not go to jail. Mm-hmm. And she looks so upset about it. Like,
that's true.
Like, really, it was like, damn, girl.
And she does call him.
I guess like, Rip Torn's got good dick.
She does call him and, like, sort of, sexually torment him when he's like at home with his wife
because she's like in a bubble bath drinking I don't know champagne or something, but like whole scene where then she's like, oh well, can't you just give me a couple of million right now? And it's like, well, no, none of that would look good. Obviously he can't, but there is this weird, like, the moment that he says, hey, let's take a pause, it's like she goes, oh, you're not gonna give me the fucking money.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I mean, you do sort of have his nuts in a sling here because you could rat him out. And while you might also, like, if you cooperate and he doesn't...
I mean, she could still definitely go to prison. That's the same thing. Accessory to murder in the way that she's done it is the same thing as murder itself.
Right. But it's still one of those, like, you know, she's still got leverage on him.
Yeah.
It, you know, obviously using it doesn't end well, but, like... But yeah, it's just one of those weird things, and then that obviously turns into just outright antagonism. I assume.
Yeah.
I'm giving a lot of credit here, but I assume that that is meant to be in that sort of like the quote unquote level of passion, you know, where it's like you know, this intense lust and like hate are two sides of the same coin kind of argument. Like, that's supposedly what we're supposed to believe about it. It's just a real quick turn.
As you know? As my fiance said as we were watching it, did Rip Torn write this episode? Because like a lot of this episode is like how sexually irresistible Rip Torn is, and it's like,
right, and successful and
but also
powerful.
It's also about how like sexually irresistible Columbo is for some of it too as well.
Yeah,
so like
I don't
know what's going on in this episode,
man. I don't either, and that's why I was like, it's not good. It's got some real good shit in it, but it's real muddled by.
No,
all
I mean,
the
I don't, I'm not saying
stuff.
It's good. I'm saying that I enjoy some of the weirder.
Yeah.
I enjoy the weirder parts of it. The parts that are like the wake and like that stuff. That's weird, but that's weird in like a normal boring way. And but the inexplicable. like grandmother who wants to set Columbo up with his niece who has who is 48 and has piano legs according to the son.
Yeah, that's
it's wonderful.
That whole exchange. Yeah, the Italian like character actors are amazing. And I have to ask you. So obviously, Columbo has Doofus Jones. I forgot his name.
Doofus Jones.
As a kind of sidekick. Well, he's wearing that like Tweety bucket hat.
Detective Stroller is who you're talking about.
Yeah, fucking Stroller. Like Stroller in this episode, like I saw that and I was like, oh, is this the new fucking sidekick? Or maybe it's these two boneheads on the scene of the crime who are like, well, he slipped in. And Columbo's like, yeah, but the washcloth's bone dry. And also like he would have fallen in a different direction if he was trying to get out. Yeah. Like, you know, just immediately shoots holes in these morons.
I also really like that Columbo was like, there's no back brush. You guys use a back brush? And they're like,
yeah, it's like, oh, you don't know what you're missing.
I guess.
Yeah.
Not really.
Yeah. I think I mean, there's another thing about the, I was just looking through my notes, but
yeah.
Where is it? Hold on. I'll find it. Yeah. You guys use a back brush? You don't know what you're missing. Yeah. It's like, well, obviously they don't know what they're missing.
Yeah.
But fair enough, Columbo, a back brush does make it easier to scrub your back.
Mm-hmm. It's, there's a lot of goofiness for sure. And well, that friggin' hat, that hat is something. It's like a tweed.
Yeah. Listen,
hat.
Yeah. It's a bucket hat. Don't get me wrong. I like tweed bucket hats.
Of course
I don't like them when you wear them with like a fucking sport coat or suit jacket. Like that's nope. Yeah. It's a bucket hat. That's the wrong shape. A flat cap would be okay. A paperboy is fine. A fedora is okay. You know, like there are shapes of hats that go with, but it's not one of them. Anyway,
let it out or sweat it out. That's what I always say.
Yeah.
So. I don't know. I guess maybe we should talk about the catch.
Listen. We have talked about the fact that there's a chimp in this episode,
yes.
And if as a listener
no
you have not already intuited,
there is absolutely no reason that there should be a chimp in this episode, other than obviously that.
Well,
the
my
writer
dude,
read a book
please.
about trivia about chimpanzees.
Yeah, exactly. It's yeah, the writer read something about chimps or knew somebody who was an animal handler and really needed some work.
Yeah.
Or, you know, a variety of reasons. But listen, the important thing is you can trust Chekhov's chimp gets
Yeah,
used.
Don't worry.
Yeah,
because
it is.
Back.
It's literally the fucking catch. Like, I knew at the moment I saw it. I was like, they're going to make this the catch.
Yeah,
and it's
something
like, yes.
to do with this chimp. Either the chimp's going to like attack him or go crazy or something. This chimp's coming back. You show a chimp.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. You show a chimp in the first act, then the chimp needs to shoot someone in the third act. That's
pay off the chimp,
that's
man.
That's how it works.
That's it's important. That chimp's you got to use the chimpanzee
establish
if you just
and
have
payoff.
Him show up.
Those are the basics of filmmaking. So it turns out that when Rip Torn went over to Freddy's apartment, he's dressed as, well, okay, first of all, I have a lot of issues with this. First of all, he says he's dressed as King George,
mm-hmm.
and then later he says, you know, like the American Revolution, but he's very clearly dressed
no,
as...
No, he says Boston Tea
Boston
Party.
Boston Tea Party,
is what he
okay.
says.
But yeah. he's very clearly dressed as the Sun King, King George. Like,
right.
He's dressed he's not dressed like an
one.
English king.
Yeah.
He's got a giant medallion around his neck, which is the sun. He's uh-huh. very clearly the Sun King.
Right.
But I could believe, honestly, that kind of makes sense if you take it as the character is incorrect, not that they fucked it up in production.
Yeah. Right.
If you'd say that like Rip Torn doesn't know the difference between Mad King George and the Sun King, King George, I completely believe that, but it is kind of funny. But he's wearing this medallion around his neck and a sleeveless vest with no sleeves on underneath.
Yeah, that was a surprise.
I know,
when he took
surprise
off the cloak.
Those
and
pipes,
I was like,
those,
pipes
came out.
He's pretty ripped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You definitely believe that he could do what he does, which is that he clubs his nephew in the back of the head and then
with his dumb Perignon bottle and then drags him to the bathtub and sets it up to make it look like he drowned and then chokes him out in the like he wakes up like
yeah
for
and then he holds
Rip Torn to like
he holds
hold
him down
him
underwater yeah
yeah it's drowned. Actually pretty grisly and the whole time there is a chimp desperately trying to be a part of this moment
yeah
which is really really uncomfortable. But yeah, of course.
But it turns out that this chimp loves to
grabs everything shiny and metal.
Shiny things, which we find out through
photographs during the wake.
He steals. Well, he steals Columbo's badge, but also we see a photograph of him stealing some or grabbing someone's watch, stealing someone's pen case, and maybe the second
earrings.
Most horrifying image is this image of this chimp.
Yeah.
Really, really, really pulling on someone's ear in a way that made me, every time they showed it, I was like, this
yeah,
is
no,
not fun. The
not
woman in the
ear,
picture
is
very clearly yeah, in
is not
physical pain.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is worse. This is like as bad as the Rip Torn thing. Like I literally like would shout because Jenny, my fiance, she's been in the other room playing Stardew all day. That's all she's been doing all day, which it's a quarantine. Fair enough. What else are you gonna do? But she would just be like, I would just be like, oh God, every time it came on screen, she was like, oh, what is Rip Torn kissing someone again? I'm like, no, it's a different horrifying thing.
No, it's a whole other horrifying thing.
Yeah.
No, but it's so like it is that thing where it's literally just about, okay, what thing about the chimp is gonna be the catch?
Yeah,
and it is literally the hey.
Chimps have fingerprints like human beings. And this he finds a fingerprint on the medallion that places him at the scene of the crime.
On the night of the murder.
On the night of the murder. Because it was the only night that he was chimp sitting, which is a...
Yeah, well, it's literally the only night that he would have been there in that costume.
Right.
And with had the chimp.
With the chimp.
Yeah.
And
manhandle his medallion.
Freddie does say the amazing line, I'm chimp sitting for a friend who's on vacation, which if you're a writer and you write down that, you know, you're typing and you type out the line, I'm chimp sitting for a friend who's on vacation. Do you like close your laptop and like walk away and like look at the sky and you say, I've done it. I've written the greatest line I will ever write as a writer.
Maybe. I think there are a lot of ways you could close that laptop, and
Do you think he knew at that moment that he had created perfection?
That he'd peaked?
He peaked.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. It's pretty
fantastic. I mean, it's a goofy episode, but there again there are good bits in it, and they mostly involve Rip Torn being upset and making faces in the way that we all like to see Rip Torn do.
Yep, absolutely.
I mean, that's the truth. That's what he's great at that. That's what makes him charming as an actor, and he's nailing it here. The whole making out with people stuff definitely was not the thing that we all wanted to see. But but it happened.
Yeah. This is this episode was also directed by Vincent McVitie, who did the previous, he's done a bunch of them. We talked about his episodes in the past. What is going on here? He did Rest in Peace, Mrs. Columbo, which is very thematically similar to this in a lot of ways.
Yeah, you can definitely kind of see or feel how those two sort of,
there's
cut
definitely
from similar cloth.
There's definitely a similar sort of directorial style, which is cast weirdos and have them come on screen and be weird for a little bit of time and then have them go away and never come back.
No tuba though.
Yeah. No tuba. Not this time.
Yeah.
Maybe next time.
I'm just trying to think of other than, clothes.
It's just like there's not that much that's super remarkable about this episode.
Mm-mm. I mean, it really is the just kind of like pulling on the threads and and kind of catching them in inconsistencies. Like it's pretty bog standard as far as his investigation stuff. It's just there's a chimp and there's Rip Torn to be mad at you when you catch him in a lie. Like the fact that like the lottery numbers that Freddie was using were like, I think the
f-stop
thank you
patterns on the camera,
because
he's a professional
lens,
photographer, so he's got his f-stop settings end up being the winning lottery numbers, which is a great little thing.
Yeah, and it's a lovely little bit, and if you're quick, you catch it when Columbo is handed the camera at the wake to take a photo of all of the neighbors after they have sung. Ugh.
It's also the numbers from Lost. No, it's not.
No, it's not.
It's not.
But I'm glad you made that joke because I was thinking that too.
It's a fine episode. It's perfectly fine. If you can stand watching Rip Torn make out, then you can see some nice performances of him outside of the makeup.
Some solid performances. Yeah. And then, you know, you get to see a chimp in Columbo for some reason.
It's amazing. It's honestly amazing it took this long, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, we're on episode 59 of our podcast, so it's amazing that it took this long to get a chimp in there.
I know. I don't.
We had Robbie the fucking robot,
and
yet somehow it's taken to the late 90s episodes to.
I know to get for there. Us to like have some kind of like really over the top fucking animal hook in this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oy.
Do you want to talk a little bit about the clothes?
Is there much
to say?
I mean, well, I don't know. Rip Torn's shit is all over the place. The first suit that we see him in is really, really, really dated in that, like, it's just kind of, it's a little baggy, which is to say it doesn't fit great. And then it's like a really, really low gorge on the lapels.
A low gorge? You know,
yeah. The notch in the lapels is... like where that sits in the lapel, how high up or down it is, that's the gorge. So like most modern suits, when you look, the gorge where the notch would lay is going to be higher and closer to kind of the collarbone and, you know, all of that. But like Rip Torn's are down, you know, almost on, you know, they're basically on his breast. And it's just an older style suit. Yeah, it really dates a suit to that sort of late 80s, early 90s. And God, there was something. The dressing gown that Nancy is wearing in that first scene.
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice that it has three welt breast pockets on each side?
No.
They're probably not functional, but they're basically made. Yeah, they're made like, you know, flapless, just kind of jetted pockets, but it's a stack of three on each side. And it's like, are they supposed to be gills or are they what? Why?
That was really
terrible. You know, obviously I made notes about the tweed bucket hat.
Obviously.
Cause I like that, but not. What he wore it with.
Couldn't let that pass.
That don't go. Yeah. Then like the car dealership, because it's exotic cars. Like this is Freddie, you know, basically ordering a $175,000 car in a custom color.
Right.
And having it delivered to
Switzerland to Bern.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like this whole weird, something like that. I don't know. Yeah. None of it's super clear to me as far as like the level of like, well, I'm going to get 30 mil, so I'm going to just immediately start spending it in the dumbest way I can think.
Right.
But that car salesman wearing that weird sort of, it's not mustard. But you know, it's that weird kind of yellowish green tone.
That's not mustard.
I don't think it's not yellow enough to me. But anyway, but it's a double-breasted 6x1. Of course it is, dude. It's this era, and no vents, and so it's just like the way that it sits on someone. Like when you see his backside, it's like that thing's just hugging his butt, like. That's just how it goes. There's no, that I would find that restrictive.
I'm sure you would. We all would.
You're so bored by this.
I am so bored. I'm sorry. I can't help it.
I've noticed.
I know, you can see we're recording with cameras on, so normally Ben can't see how bored I am with this segment.
No, but I can hear it in your voice. It's trust me. I know you well enough. Yeah. I noted that Columbus flies down in like in one of the scenes in the jeweler shop where he comes over to ask about
no way
Freddy's
to tell
watch.
Whether that's intentional or not. There's no way to
nope.
know.
We're just gonna go with intentional. Sure it is. Yeah.
Sure. It's a television show. They wouldn't mess up something like that.
Yeah. I made some notes because I really loved when Columbo started grilling Rip Torn about winning the lottery, when he's like, oh, where, you know, how did it happen when
where were you?
Yeah. He's like, oh, how did that? And it's like, but there's some legitimacy to that. Because when I saw that, it immediately made me think of the documentary McMillions.
Right.
Which is about, you know, like the McDonald's monopoly fraud stuff. But like, that's one of the big things.
If you don't
things.
Know, check it out. I believe it's on HBO Go. But
yeah, I think it's on HBO. It might be one of the things that they were like, hey, you can just watch for free because, you know, pandemic.
Because you are out of options.
Yeah. But no, it just made me think of that sort of same thing where it's like, yeah, you get them to talk about the thing, you know, and then they're lying to, you know, law enforcement.
It's very funny. Also, at that point, Rip Torn mentions a son.
Yeah.
That son is not present at any point in
this
episode.
Well, neither is his daughter.
Yeah,
because
that's
he mentions
true.
His daughter after he's collected the 30 mil. Because,
where are
like,
these,
his assistant?
Yeah, where
is
are
like,
these
oh,
kids? Did they live?
Your daughter
with
wants
them?
To buy a car.
Yeah,
and he's like, oh, the red one or whatever. He's like, yeah, that's fine. And it's just like, oh, okay, sure. Let's just throw in some extra. I mean, yeah. It.
Where are these kids? So I'm a Rip Torn kid truther. I don't believe that they're kids.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I started to write lines down. I don't have anything else for you.
This
really.
Episode is goofy. I would say you're very okay to skip this one.
Unless you
really want to see Rip Torn in an episode of Columbo, or you really want to see that chimp for some reason.
Well, I mean, you know, you want to.
Yeah, it might be worth watching that opening scene with Freddy and the cast of the most diverse sitcom in the world. Actually, it's just white people. But
yeah, it's totally just white people. Oh, I'm sorry. I did forget to mention one thing about style. Yeah. Outside of like the classic sort of horrible style that like all of his neighbors tend to have in the like right. get it, it's like it's an artist commune, they're all, you know, not
oh is that what's going
nice
on
clothes.
There they're all is that why they're all like singers
it's meant,
and poets
yeah
and stuff?
It's meant okay. to be like that, you know, as if his place is like this studio apartment or something, but it's just in like a brick shit house in Dumpstown, LA.
It's singers and musicians and poets
right.
and Italians, you know, artists.
Yeah. yeah.
And
well,
a,
so
and,
there's,
and a chimpanzee for some reason.
Yeah. But that reminded me of a thing that like because you know it's like the Halloween party that Rip Torn throws and then leaves to go murder his nephew.
Right.
The whole like, oh hey, it's Halloween, you know, is certainly convenient. But the thing I loved was there are two different shots in that sequence. The first one, like when Rip Torn is leaving to go get in his car and drive out to kill Freddy, where you hear what definitely sounds like kids' voices. Like, hurry, let's go, you know, like out trick-or-treating for candy. And then what walks by is four fucking adults in costume. And then you see it again, like outside of Freddy's building as these people, adults in costume, holding like huge bags, ostensibly with candy, crossing the street because they are going around. I was like, that's not how adults do. Adults wear costumes like that. Yes. Then they go to bars and they get shit faced.
They didn't want to pay child actors for night work, which is more expensive.
That's it.
So yeah, I skip this one. It's not worth it.
I feel like if you can get through that opening scene and then you get through the first neighbors scene,
and you're
feeling like you're in okay shape, you can make it through this episode.
Yeah, well, if you can make it through the first rip torn makeout scene, then you'll be okay. But listen, if you can't make it through there and you have to bail, I get it.
We wouldn't blame you. Yeah.
Listen, if I wasn't doing this for all of you, selflessly, like a martyr, I mean, I don't want to say that I'm like Jesus because that would be blasphemy, but
but you're gonna, I mean, I was waiting for you to walk yourself there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. I walked myself there on water.
Yeah. That definitely didn't happen.
No. This is not making it in the episode, or is it? Because I'm not bothering to edit them anymore. So that's going to do it for this week's Cullum Boys. I'm Mac.
I'm Ben.
And just one more thing.
Yeah?
I'm chimp sitting for a friend who's on vacation.
Best line.
It's the best ever. Line. How can you top it?
Cullum Boys is hosted by Mac Johnson and Ben Swallow. You can follow them on Twitter at MacJ and at DandyGeek. The Cullum Boys theme is by Seth Boyer. For more information about this and other great Waffle Media projects, you can go to waffle.media. Thanks for listening.